The story of Joseph Eichler. The Eichler developments across California have captivated me for over a decade. I had the opportunity to work on the restoration of two original Eichler homes. The process opened my eyes to the rich history behind his developments, construction techniques, marketing strategies, and his ideas about modern California living. He left a lasting impact on the architectural industry and the American housing market at large. After World War II, many soldiers returned home to the United States, triggering a huge demand for single-family homes. Developers nationwide recognized an opportunity to provide affordable suburban homes to the middle class. Many of these developers didn't use architects to design their houses, but because of the high demand, they could offer generic designs and stay in business. Although modernism had a strong presence in California, developers believed that most buyers wanted homes resembling the nostalgic styles of past generations. They thought the middle class wasn't ready to live in modern designs. Until then, most modern homes, such as those designed by Richard Neutra, Rudolf Schindler, or Frank Lloyd Wright, were reserved for wealthy patrons. In 1943, before entering the development business, Joseph Eichler moved his family into a Frank Lloyd Wright-designed Usonian house. The house is known as the Bizet Residence. During that time, Eichler left his well-established position at Nye & Nissen after the company underwent an investigation into an attempt to defraud the federal government. After leaving the company, Eichler spent significant time at the Bizet Residence planning his next move. He came to admire Frank Lloyd Wright's attention to detail and gained an appreciation for the spaces in the home. It's believed that Eichler's exposure to Wright's architecture significantly influenced his decision to move into the development industry. Eichler had minimal experience in the construction, architecture, and property development industries. He started by dabbling in property investment, learning as much as possible. In 1947, he started the Sunnyvale Building Company, which sold prefabricated home kits. These homes had more of a conventional aesthetic and weren't quite the modern homes we typically associate with the Eichler brand. Although he remained passionate about modern architecture, many colleagues told him he'd make more money building conventional homes. After success in his new business, he met Robert Anshin, a modern architect in the area, and hired him to design his personal residence. Anshin was also an admirer of Frank Lloyd Wright and many of the modernists of the early 20th century. After getting to know Eichler and his affinity for modern architecture, Anshin asked him why he was selling homes that weren't modern. This question sparked a change that would alter the trajectory of the housing industry in America. In 1949, Eichler hired Anshin to design a prototype for one of his new developments. Based on the AA-1 prototype, the homes went on the market in 1950 in Sunnyvale. The plan is a simple T-shape with 1,044 square feet and includes 3 bedrooms, 1 bath, a living room, a kitchen, and a dining room. The home was $9,500, including all fixtures, appliances, and a radiant floor heating system. The development sold out in 2 weeks and gained widespread notoriety. Eichler commissioned Anshin to do 4 more of his subdivisions. These included Palo Alto, El Centro Gardens, Green Gables, and Atherwood in Redwood City. After the Sunnyvale development, Anshin and Eichler began working on a design for development in Palo Alto. They reworked the plans from Sunnyvale to include a 2nd bathroom and tweaked one of the bedrooms to make it a primary suite. This was a feature that no other developments in that price range were offering at the time. The Palo Alto development had similar success to the Sunnyvale, and the company was off to a great start. Unfortunately, there was a disagreement between Eichler and Anshin on the fees due to the architect, and their relationship was strained. Eichler would then discover the work of A. Quincy Jones. Jones had won awards for his designs with another home builder. After Eichler saw Jones's work, he immediately reached out. Jones partnered with Frederick Emmons and was given the commission for a new subdivision. The relationship between Anshin and Eichler was revitalized after both men had time to cool down. Anshin and Jones developed a close relationship as both firms began working on the developments. Eichler, Jones, and Anshin would collaborate closely, vetting out design problems, making plan revisions, and dialing in their designs. Eichler had completed 1,800 modern homes by 1954. He quickly became recognized as a leader in the home building industry. His homes, although sometimes twice the cost of conventional homes from other builders in the area, exhibited a level of quality and design excellence that began to set them apart in the industry. Both Jones and Anshin recommended using post and beam construction for the homes. The system could be erected quickly, allowing for interior floor plan flexibility. One of the design features that are a hallmark of an Eichler home is the exposed Philippine mahogany veneered plywood panels. The beautiful grain pattern in the wood gave the houses a custom feel and was easy to install. As early as 1956, Eichler would begin dabbling with the atriums in his designs. By 1958, they'd become fully integrated and built in his homes. The central atrium would become a defining icon of an Eichler home. They were open air and typically located on the axis of the entrance door. The atrium served as an outdoor space that was still private. It was another room in the house, a communal space around which the entire house was centered, and it became a hit with home buyers. The company grew over the next several years, and in 1961, Eichler Homes became publicly traded. Prioritizing stockholders' sales goals over creative freedom eventually became problematic for Eichler. When the company began developing large urban projects in the cities, serious problems arose that jeopardized the operation. In 1966, the company collapsed. Eichler would return to his original company and continue building suburban housing until his death in 1974. Eichler's choice to hire modern architects to design his developments set him apart from all the developers of his time. His houses defied the industry standards and assumptions about market demands. He and his architects were able to create houses that satisfied the basic financial and functional needs of everyday life, while simultaneously delivering the clarity, simplicity, and design integrity of many of the high modern custom homes of the time. He democratized modern design and made it available and appealing to middle-class families.